This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See you live off the record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bahamar, Central Bank, City of Hope, Epic Battery, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, Southwest Plaza, and Star General. Insurance made simple.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If today you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So I've been away for a couple of days, not intentionally, but things happened that made it impossible for me to be on the show. I did celebrate my birthday on Sunday. I'm my 58th birthday. I have to thank the folks from Old Nassau there in Toronto for being extremely gracious and generous, and again delivering me some solidly delicious pea soup and dumpling on the day before my birthday. So in the course of my journeying, I ran into some issues that made doing the show very difficult, but I enjoyed my birthday anyhow. Thank God for that, and thank God for his faithfulness these 58 years. But you guys had a lot going on over the last couple of days, though. You had a great number of things going on. I was happy to see Leslie Miller, former member of Parliament, apologize for some statement he made about the candidate, FNM candidate for Kalani, Michaela Barnett Ellis, in referring to her as a little young girl, which those three words applied to a little young girl would not at all be offensive. Not if in a particular context, if said, right? Mr. Miller was not trying to be flattering. And that's why he apologized. I think he saw and recognized the blowback from it, and recognized that on that occasion that little bit of a tongue-in-cheek wasn't going to carry. And so he apologized. Leslie Miller over the years has been known as somebody who is not bashful about saying things that many people might only think, and saying them out loud. He's not It isn't, it hasn't been typical for him to apologize for many things he said, which people might take as insensitive. But on this occasion, he did. And I think he knew what he was up against in doing so. His comments notwithstanding, I think the context of the comments, right, and trying to get some help for Dr. Hubert Minnis. He says it's his friend. may very well be, right? In encouraging the Progressive Liberal Party not to run a candidate against Dr. Minnis. Why? Why would an avowed PLP, who I have no doubt is unlikely to vote for Dr. Minnis if he is running in a race against a PLP, given that his daughter is a PLP member of parliament and doing a fine job as far as I could tell, people are saying, who I'm sure would not want her father to vote against a PLP for an independent or anyone else, because any vote for against the PLP is diminishing the chances of her party and his party succeeding in an election. Why would he want his party not to offer up a candidate to Kalani? Kalani, you are not important to us. That would be the message. Is that the message? You are not important to us. As a matter of fact, Kalani, we don't even think that you care about us, the PLP, to support us, the PLP. So we will never run a candidate, and we will not run a candidate in this election against you. I mean, for you, we will not offer you the opportunity to vote for a PLP candidate. Instead, we offer you an opportunity to vote for either the FNL, the COI, or the man who led a party against you, PLPs in Kalani, the man who governed the Bahamas for 5 years, 4 years, against you, not against you, but as the head of a party against you. We want you to go vote for him. That's what we want. We want you to do. Vote for him. Why would you do that? Now, let me give you an example. When the FNM did not run a candidate against Hubert Ingle and Perry Christie, that was principled. These men had challenged their party in terms of what they regarded as corruption, allegations being made, the handling of things. These were principled oppositions that these men made to their party. And so the opposition at the time, in seeking to endorse their stance, said, we won't run a candidate against you because we share the same cause. You are opposed to the PLP right now. And we are opposed to them. So we share. Is Leslie Miller saying that Dr. Hubert Minnis is now opposed to the FNM on principle, and therefore the PLP should be opposed to running a candidate against them because they share the same cause? Well, now, isn't that something? isn't that something? So for me, I kind of wondered, like, why? Because if friendship has anything to do with it, Mr. Miller has many FNM friends and who have ran and so forth. I suspect he may name some very high-ranking FNMs amongst his friends. Never asked the party not to run against them. So it can't be just a matter of friendship. Friendship? Or alliance towards some goal A goal like what? Like what exactly? It was interesting, very interesting. And in the process, ended up saying something that he had to swallow in the end. Why? For who? For your friend? That was funny to me. But, you know, politics makes strange bedfellows. We hear that expression all the time. Strange bedfellows. But I can tell you one thing, boy. If you are an F&M, remember this. And I'm going to say it to the PLPs in reverse. If you are an F&M, remember this. Anything that is being advised to you by someone who opposes you, you should look up it. But hawk-eyed. You should. If an F&M go and give advice to the PLP, I tell the PLP, child, please, do not listen to them. Do not listen to them. They do not have your interest at heart. They do not. If I were a person who supports an F&M, the F&M, and I were a former leader of a party, former leader of the party now. Anyway, if I were the former leader of the F&M, I wouldn't be running against the F&M unless on principle I rejected that party. On principle. And so it wouldn't even arise. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best behemoth at international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands. In all seasons.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Daniel Boulud, Marcus Samuelson, Dario Cecchini, and Simeon Hall Jr., alongside a vibrant lineup of Bahamian chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. And don't miss an electrifying live performance by global superstar Lenny Kravitz, headlining the festival's welcome party on Friday, October 24th, with a concert experience you won't forget. This is more than a festival, it's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage. Bahamar, life spectacular. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, but on the face of it, the FNM leadership seems opposed to Dr. Minnis. Is the FNM afraid of the PLP not running a candidate against Minnis? Firstly, let me speak to the second thing, point you make about the FNM being afraid. My name is Shivago Sean Lang. I'm not an officer of the Free National Movement. I am not an active member of the Free National Movement or anything of that nature. I have no role or stake in the campaign of the Free National Movement. So it is me who is commenting on what I heard about what Leslie Miller said, me, Shivago Lang. I haven't heard, you may have. I have not heard the FNM say anything about that myself, but maybe you have, I have not. So I don't know what the FNM is afraid of or not afraid of, according to you. Secondly, on the face of it, the FNM leadership seems opposed to Dr. Minnis. Bro, you must be quite an observer of the Bahamas using some binoculars that are coloring your world rosy or something. Because I don't know what you have been watching, but the opposition of Dr. Minnis to the leadership of Mr. Michael Pindad has been so clear and evident and consistent and longstanding. What other choice would Michael Pindad have? Not to be against him, because Michael Pindad offered him, as I understand it from his own words, a role and so forth in the party's efforts and so forth and so forth. So what kind of twisted mind like yours in this matter, not altogether, in this matter, would suggest that it appears on the face of it that he's against? What sensible leader would take the history of Dr. Minnis' posture toward itself and say, oh, you know what? You come run with me, bro. Yeah, ain't no problem, because you've been just a grand supporter. Come on, man. Wake up. I know you're more intelligent than that. And I know you're more decent than that. So, please. Let's see here. I think we have another text here. No? All right. The other thing I wanted to note, it was the, so The State Department made an announcement about Haitian visa applications being processed at the U.S. Embassy in Nassau. Now, the government came out in light of that announcement. We will not be facilitating any travel for any Haitian national coming to Nassau for visas. The leader of the opposition said he and his leadership team met with the embassy about the matter, and they acknowledged or understood the concerns that Bahamians have in respect of this matter. And I heard a great deal of conversation around the pros and the cons of it and so forth. I had a couple of questions actually when I read the announcement by the State Department about this. And my first question was, is this new policy for the U.S.? Is this new policy? I mean, as far as I am aware, there was not up to now any exclusive processing of Haitian applications in the Bahamas for U.S. visas. I am not aware of that being the case, but it may well have been the case, and nobody said anything to us, but I am not aware. I'm doubtful that that was the case. So on assumption, I'm thinking this is new policy. Okay, new U.S. Foreign State Department policy to have Haitian visas. Is it exclusively processed in the Bahamas? Can they not go to Jamaica? Can they not go to any embassy in the DR? Can they not go anywhere else? They have to come to the Bahamas to have their visas processed. Okay, so my first question was, is this new policy? And my presumptive answer is, yes, it is new policy. Some people say, oh, Haitians could have done that before. No, Haitians could have done that before, just as they could have gone to their own embassy before, in the U.S. Embassy in Haiti before, just as they could have gone to other places before. So as an option, that might have been the case. But is it now true that it is exclusively the case? That's the question. Is it exclusively the case? And from what I read, it appeared that that was the case. This is where they must now have their applications processed. Of course, that means doing what we do as Bahamians to have a U.S. visa. You have to submit online an application. You have to submit all your documentation. You have to make your payments and all that kind of stuff. You have to wait for an appointment and so forth and so forth. So on the en masse thing, I am not entirely sure that bit of paranoia is necessary, you know, but who knows? At the end of the day, if you come to the Bahamas to get a visa, presumably the immigration officer in the Bahamas knows how to ask the question, why are you here? What are you doing? That's what they ask us when we travel to the United States of America. What is the purpose of your visit? How long do you intend to be here? And so forth and so forth. And if you overstayed your welcome, on another occasion, when they see you, they say, oh, you Chicago Lang. Oh, and you know you're supposed to be out this country on August 31, but you only tell September 10th. They have the ability to do that. And we don't. Really? I hear people talk about computerization and biometrics. You don't even need no computerization and biometrics for them. To track? To track somebody and to track whether, you know, when you leave the Bahamas, the question is, well, what happens if you're a foreigner? Nothing? Maybe not. Maybe that's the way to do it. Or you're leaving through all of these airlines. Let's ask the airline. You know, can I be share this information? I'm going to check the list. If you're a little bit of an organization, you can do it, right? That's my point. It can be done. So I'm not paranoid about any en masse emigrating to the Bahamas on some fake application to the U.S. for a visa. No. What I do want to know, secondly, is if this is new U.S. policy, why? What is the rationale of the U.S. government for establishing this policy? Every policy has a rationale. Every policy has a policy, has a rationale. What is the rationale for doing this at this time? It's about Haiti has lots of issues and so forth. Yeah, and so if Haiti has lots of issues, they got a country next door called the Dominican Republic. They're closer. And there is a United States of America with lots of resources to facilitate lots of applications and so forth. Lots. I mean, why, what's the rationale? And that might very well be a very sound rationale. Well, Haiti's in a mess. We don't have a mission in Haiti anymore. So, you know, you're closest to Haiti, are we? Cuba's closer. There's a U.S. embassy in Cuba. Dominican Republic is closer. There's a U.S. embassy in Dominican Republic. Why the Bahamas? What's the rationale? Has anyone heard one? Anybody heard any rationale from the United States of America as to why this is the case? Did the opposition ask this of them? What was the rationale? Did the opposition say whether they asked this or whether in fact they got an answer as to why this at this time? I don't know. Did the government of the Bahamas ask? Why? You're negotiating with the United States of America over your Cuban doctors and nurses. So you're negotiating. You ask the America why they do this. Right? Before you even launch a response, you ask them why they do it. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Don.
Hey, good man. What's up?
Okay, yeah. You know, on your question, you know, September 25th was the cutoff date for Haitian illegals coming out of America, actually. And last week a federal judge ruled against it. You know, so I think, you know, I believe that's why the change was made.
Yeah, but I don't see, if that's their explanation, I can't see how that matters to your determining an illegal person in the United States is the reason why you're determining that a person legally trying to get into your country would have to come to the Bahamas?
No, happiness is that is not the problem. You know, if the Trump's administration, you know, if that September 25th thing had been carried out, it would have been a problem for, I guess, for us and Haiti, you know, in terms of the amount of patients coming out of America.
No, I don't see how that fits.
In terms of instability on the back door of the CDC board.
Yeah, but instability where, though? Because if you are required to leave the United States of America, you're required to go back to where you come from. That's Haiti. What does that have to do with the Bahamas?
I know. Now, America has the capacity to absorb, absorb those illegals. Okay,
but the illegals are already in there. They're already there. You said the cutoff date for them to leave is the 25th. They are already there.
No, but they were going to actually being put out of America.
Well, the September 25th hasn't come yet.
That's right.
Right. Let's see what happens.
A federal judge has quashed that.
I understand. But my point is, though, what does that have to do with your deciding that Haitians trying to get into the United States of America legally must now bypass the U.S. Embassy in Cuba, U.S. Embassy in the Dominican Republic, and go to the Bahamas to do their application? Why?
Well, it's something only the Secretary of State knows.
Well, that's the point that I make, is that we haven't gotten a reason. So that's where it rests now.
Okay, buddy.
Appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, pay our respects to our great sponsors. We'll be back after this break.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets, you name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Z. How are you doing? Happy belated, man. Happy belated.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I wanted to wish you happy birthday on Friday, but the show wasn't live. But you born in 67.
Yeah, I was born in 1967.
Hey, you was a product of the majority rule celebration.
Yes, sir.
Majority rule think, January 10th. And the 10th of September, 9 months later. So
you're
the product of the majority celebration. You know,
yeah,
I celebrate
right.
in 11 days too, and that's a very emotional date for you too.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So I wanted to say it's a bittersweet for me. But help me to go through it, man. So you make your appointment in Haiti with the American Embassy for your interview. So then you buy a round trip ticket. And then you come to the Bahamas. So you have to get a room or Airbnb or live with your family or whatever over here. Go and get your appointment. Go on Shirley Street, E Street, make your appointment. Now, denied or not, what happens after that? What you do? You come back, you go back to Haiti, and then, or you go from here to the United States because you got your visa now. What is the process?
Well, that's a good question. Now, it's been a while. When I went and did the interview, I think if you get approved visa right then.
Yeah, right then, stamping your passport right then. You ain't got to get up 4 o'clock in the morning no more. You got appointments. So that's what I'm saying now. So you legally now, you got your U.S. visa. Could you buy a ticket to go from here straight to the United States then? Or you got to go back to Haiti and come up with
What happens depends on how the Bahamas treats you as a visitor, right? So on entry into the Bahamas, first of all, a Haitian national has to have a visa to enter the Bahamas.
Okay,
let's remember that. A Haitian national does not just freely enter the Bahamas. They have to have a visa.
So the three flights would come in every week. What do they say? Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All those Haitians coming over have visas.
Presumably visaed people.
Okay,
they have to be landed by an immigration officer, and presumably the immigration officer validates their visa. That visa process is... Yeah.
Then,
if somebody called me and tell me if I'm wrong, but this is my understanding, you have to have a visa.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so now when you are landed by an immigration officer, presumably like every other country, you are given a certain period of time in which to be in the Bahamas.
Okay.
Now, whether or not something happens in relation to your overstay depends on the enforcement arm of the immigration department, on their ability to note, well, Jean-Pierre was supposed to have left on September 1. Do I have a computer notice that flags that date or no or what? And so forth. And so I then know we have somebody who does not appear to have left the country because we have no proof of exit. Now, to be honest with you, I am doubtful that any proof of such exit exists in our system today.
Me too. And then your time might be up there. So if you get your fresh visa, take visa. So
I buy
my ticket to go to the United States.
You don't have to leave. You don't have to leave. You don't have
to leave. Time up yet. I get on the visa. I get into the visa to the United States. I got my legal visa. I get a visa to the United States, and from the United States, I come to the Bahamas and back to Haiti.
It depends on the nature of the visa. You know, there are some visas that are like you move one way, or you can have what we call multiple destination visas. Depends
on
money
to go through this process and then do round trip tickets, to stay. The visa is 300 and something now. And if you want to go to the States, another round trip ticket to the United States. So, all right, yeah, someone get to the news break. All right, I can have a send this in the early tomorrow.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. So, but that's a good question, I mean, in terms of what happens and so forth. You could argue that something like this creates more tourism scenarios for us. And these are the people who are trying to do it the legal way, right? They're trying to get to the United States the legal way. And there are many Haitians who have family members and who would love to visit the U.S., who are seeking to do so legally. You know, and there are many Haitians who come to the Bahamas legally and leave legally. You all go look at the planes. Your people talk about the planes coming in. Go look at the planes going out. You go down to Nassau International Airport, Lyndon Pinion International, domestic section, and you go and see Bahamas Air or any other airline getting into Haiti, and you see how long them lines are. Going to Haiti, most of them ain't Bahamians. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back after the news break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful day afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 4224796 or what's happening on 4393043. Okay, so some of you have thoughts about why the U.S. is doing what it's doing and even suggesting or providing me with notes about what it is. But I'm sorry, I can't take that because the U.S. Embassy has words. The State Department has its own words. No, they don't have words for CARICOM. They don't have words about anything else. This is what they say. The U.S. Embassy in Nassau has been designated to conduct immigrant visa services for residents of Haiti. That's okay. Now, if this isn't new, if this is something that has always been happening, people saying to me, oh, they've been always able to come here, maybe so. But if this isn't new, why the announcement? Why make an announcement about something that ain't new? Says the Department of State is now requiring immigrant visa applicants to interview in the consular district designated for their place of residence or in their country of nationality if requested, with limited exceptions. Right? Effective November 1, 2025, the National Visa Center will schedule immigrant visa applicants in their country of residence or, if requested, country of nationality. Well, they ain't doing it in Haiti. Right? So when you look at Afghanistan, is Islamabad. This is on the State Department website now. But nothing else. If you are in Belarus, you do yours in Warsaw. If you are in Eritrea, you do yours in Addis Ababa, Nairobi. Haiti, Nassau. How about it say? It didn't say Nassau, Cuba, Barbados, or this or that. It says Haiti, Nassau. It says Iran, Abu Dhabi, Ankara, Yerevan. So they got three options: Russia, Warsaw, Almaty, Tashkent. Okay? Syria, Amman, Beirut. That's all they say. They don't give no other explanation. None. I don't know. I need the people now. The explanation. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, call.
Yeah, Mr. Lang.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, yeah. I don't like this, what I hear. You know, America, if you know, nobody could bully America. America have an embassy. If the Bahamas could open an embassy over there in Haiti, America have an embassy there in Haiti as well. Why they can't do they to do there?
Is your embassy in Haiti still up and running?
The Bahamas?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man. What you mean? That fella's still coming on the plane.
That's right. So you got embassy in the in Haiti.
What I'm saying, the Bahamas got people there who these fellas, the people from Haiti, they still come in here. That's why the flight has come full from Haiti. And we give them...
I'm agreeing with you. So, but it says, what I'm seeing is Bahamas embassy in Haiti is currently closed.
Yes. Now, what I was saying, America have embassy in Haiti. All they got, they open up their embassy and let dude away from there. They ain't got to come.
Is their embassy?
Because
is their embassy functioning?
Here, you know what's going to happen. America's going to deny them. I see America deny them over and over. When I been get my visa, America don't hardly take too hard for them. America's denying them.
But you raise an interesting point. So your embassy is closed. Your embassy is closed.
Yeah.
But the information I am seeing says the U.S. embassy in Haiti is currently functioning, but is operating with limited staffing and services due to security concerns. So they may not have full consular services available there now.
Okay. Well, like I say, I know they just come here on the plane, and you love me a minute or two. And what I'm trying to say, why they can't do they to do from there? And like some callers said, they have an embassy in Dominican Republic.
But you're an insider. You tell me though. The Bahamas embassy is closed. How are Haitians getting visa to travel to Bahamas?
I don't know, because the plane just go empty and come back full. And then nobody goes.
The plane don't go empty. The plane is go full.
Leave your full?
Yes, somebody.
That's what I hear. I mean, that's what I heard.
Yeah, but you always hear, and I travel a lot.
Well,
okay? I'm in the domestic section of the airport a lot. I see them lines.
Yeah, well, you may be right, but I don't travel much as you, so you may be right with that. But I don't like that what's going on, because that's what we heard. The plane come here full. And the point is, they have Haiti as one of the country on the stop list to not come there. You agree with that?
But they should come here.
Yeah, well, they have them on the stop list. So what they need visa for to go there if they was on the stop list?
They don't only on certain circumstances.
What they say. Some countries they was not checking for. And I think Haiti. And then another point, what they say too, is when to come back. I think the Haitian is about way up there, about 30% of the other countries would don't go back. And so
that ain't surprising.
We gotta be very careful because we are overrun right now. Because let's say they come here, and
you there's no coming here for that, because the government of the Bahamas has said that it will not accept Haitians coming to the Bahamas for the purpose of doing an interview at the U.S. Embassy.
Yeah.
That's what the government has said.
Yeah, but we have this little country. We got to protect it. We got to watch it as we are going to lose it. We are going to lose it. Then those guys come and say, I said, man, I'm waking. And I know they ain't going to wake from it.
Oh, there's no question. I don't know who works permit and who does not. But I could tell you, I run into some Haitians. Hold on, brother. I do run into some Haitians who can speak no English whatsoever.
What'd you say?
None.
I run into some Haitians
who can speak no English whatsoever, so they must have got to be on work permit.
Yeah.
Or they visit in the country as tourists.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Carla.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Okay, this says, good afternoon, Z. Remember recently you questioned the Bahamas government seeking clarity from the U.S. government on Cuban medical workers? Well, now the U.S. has decided that Haitians must be processed for U.S. visas in the Bahamas. My brother, this is independence of the Bahamas. This independence of the Bahamas is looking less independent by the week. Well, I'm sorry, I don't see it that way, because someone asking you to do something and you either deciding to do it or not to do it is a matter of your independence. They can't force you to do it. See, if they came here and they use military force to get you to do it, or they use the kind of economic coercion to get you to do it, and that's the reason why you're doing it, then I might agree with you. But independence don't work like that. Just because I agree to do something that my wife wants, my husband wants, my boss wants, even if I don't want to, because I think it's in my best interest, that doesn't mean I'm not independent. That doesn't mean that at all. That means I'm interdependent, meaning that with my independence, I also recognize that there are some things in my interest and not in my interest. And it is a very narrow appreciation of independence that would suggest that because somebody says to me, who's bigger than me, stronger than me, richer than me, do something, and I do it, that I'm not independent. In this instance, the Bahamas said to the U.S., well, we will not facilitate those applications. And you are yet still saying our independence is looking less so. That's very deep. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
Hey, what's up?
In respect to this requirement that the United States of America planted it, and who happens to also have no government has a bigger presence in the Bahamas than the United States of America right now, when you look at the size of that embassy. So I think we all have to be very careful at how we approach this particular issue. But let me
ask you a question. You said America is the most powerful country on the planet, right? You said that. Why? Why is America the most powerful country?
When I look at them economically and militarily, I don't see anyone who can match them. And economically,
okay. So let me ask you a question. If America's military launched nuclear attacks at Russia or China, what do you think will happen?
What I think is you'll have a war. And I don't think
not only would you have a war, you would have a nuclear war.
Yeah.
And in that nuclear war, who's gonna survive?
Oh, I'm not too sure, but a lot of people will die. But then
this isn't a notion in the international arena called mutual destruction.
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of our peace is being secured by the threat of mutual destruction, which means that if Russia launched all its nuclear weapons at the U.S., U.S. at Russia, China at the U.S., there'd be nobody standing. So who's most powerful in a situation where nobody stands at the end?
I hear what you're saying, right? But I remember quite distinctly, George Bush, in his State of the Union address in the 90s, when he was about to respond to the attack of the World Trade Center, the terrorist attack, I remember his State of the Union address. He was very clear. He said, we don't need no military. We don't need no manpower. We don't need no economics. What we want is intelligence. And the United States of America, when they made that statement and that they were going in, I saw the countries, France and all of the France took longer, but the UK and many other countries lined up in support of that attack on in respect to the World Trade Center. But I don't want to lose my trend of thought, Mr. Lang. I want to say this. I really want to say this. And I was pretty much taken aback at the Bahamas government's response to the U.S. and their request, or maybe their demand. I don't know what it was. I'll say this. The Bahamas government said that there will be no processing of Haitian immigrants in the Bahamas. That's their statement. But is it okay now? So what they're saying now, they're going to deny the United States of America their request. And, but they will still facilitate up to 6 flights a week coming into the Bahamas from Haiti for vacation, frolicking, and whatever else. Does that make sense? Does that really make sense?
Yellow?
Yes, the Bahamas government said that they're not going to facilitate this request from the United States of America. But
you asked if it makes sense. It makes sense to the extent that if you say, when the immigration officer asks you, why are you coming here? You say, I'm coming here to apply for a U.S. visa. You say, no. If you say, I'm coming here to visit, I'm coming here to do this and that, and the next thing, and so forth, then they say, yes, well, that's rational. That's consistent with the policy.
I don't think they want to damage. According to the United States of America, they said the Bahamas and the U.S. have a good working relation. And I've heard former ambassador indicated that he was looking at spreading it even more. And I'm sure that the United States of America is going to get their request.
I got you, brother. We had another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, how are you?
I'm good, man.
Great, great, and good day to the Bahamas. Mr. Lang, it seems that we have a conspiracy going on in the Bahamas because I don't understand. I find myself, as an employee, I have to now learn Creole because Haitians don't want to learn English. You have some of them. I have an employee whose girlfriend has been here now over 14 years, and she can't speak a lick of English. He has to be leaving work to go get his son registered for school. He has to leave work to go pick up his son and all that because this woman who's been living with him over 14 years can't speak a lick of English. And I have to find myself learning Creole just to gel in my country with Haitians. All right.
Listen to me. I want people to call the show and talk sense. I am 58 years old. I do not speak a lick of Creole. I am not required to do so. There's no circumstance under which I am required to do so, nor anyone in the circles I connect with. I do not know what you're talking about. I don't know where you live, but I don't live like that in my country.
Okay, but Mr. Lang, why are we not putting rules and regulations in place where these people have to learn to speak English in our country?
What are you being rules and regulations in place? As far as I'm aware, in order for you to be a citizen of the Bahamas, there is a degree of English you have to speak. That's a requirement.
Correct. That's correct. Okay.
Okay. So why don't we put rules in place then?
Why is it that one can live in the Bahamas for 14 years and not learn a lick of English?
That's like saying why you could live in France and not be able to speak French. You don't have no requirement to speak French because you live in France. If you could get along without speaking it, so what?
Oh, I see. So there's no requirement. That's what it is.
There's no requirement in any country that you speak the language of the country as a matter of law, but it is socially and economically and otherwise effective for one to do so if one lives in the country. And many Haitians speak a long time.
Many of them do, Mr. Lang, but many of them don't. I mean,
yeah, but I'm saying, but bro, listen, man, listen. I don't want twisted nonsense on the show. Many people who live in the United States of America for decades cannot still yet speak very good English, Italians, French, and so forth. In Canada, in Quebec, there are some many Quebecans who will not speak a lick of English.
Mr. Lang, engage me 1 second, okay? Is it true or is it not true that you have a Bahamian who would jump on a flight and go to Miami for a weekend and come back speaking like cat?
Okay, that's about have a good day. Yeah, have a good day, man. Nice to talk to you. Nice to talk to you. Carry on. Okay. I have no time for no nonsense. Nonsense talk. We got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, I'm sorry I haven't tuned in for quite some time, but...
it's all good, my brother. Everybody, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. But I think we're missing a fundamental fact, you know. Not all Haitians are poor people. And I think we need to get a grip of this because after the First World War...
That's a fact. That's a fact. Not only are they not poor, they don't even have to be absolutely very rich. They are middle-income, solidly middle-income Haitians.
Yeah, okay. Let me see if I could just get to my point now. I mean, you have Syrian and Palestinian, mostly Arabs, in Haiti. For every 1 million, which we would call indigenous Haitians, you got about 500,000 of this Arab Haitian. And they own businesses and food stores and real estate. And they may be the ones who are traveling. They're the ones who may be traveling here because it might be difficult for them to get to the United States like they probably want to. So we need to get this phobia out of our head and put this to rest because there are people in Haiti who have more money than you could imagine and living better than most of us.
I agree with you 100%, my friend.
Okay.
We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, thank you for your clarification on the visa process, right? I am pretty knowledgeable of the visa issue. But they always have that where you can... apply for visa in a different country, and but the, like when your visa comes, you pick it up in the Bahamas.
Yes, we acknowledge that, but now it seems that there is now a see the thing about it is why make an announcement that about something you've already been doing? You don't say you know we just want to reinforce that X, Y, and Z. No, this is saying that the area now for processing is Nassau because there was always a U.S. embassy in Haiti too processing visas.
Oh, okay. So when they made that announcement, I mean, what did they change? Help me understand what the update is about.
No, but what it seems to be now is there is now a kind of exclusive designation now of Nassau as that place for these folks.
So would the interview process be over here as well?
Would they what? Yeah, that's the point. The interview would be done here. That's the point. The interviews would be done here.
Oh, okay.
That's the point. The interviews would be done here in the Bahamas.
Okay, I have one more question.
In Nassau.
You alluded to this now with the previous caller. Can Haitians come over here, then make their way to the U.S.? Do we have the access or they need a particular Bahamian visa?
Sorry, say again?
Could Haitians come over here and take their other trip to the U.S.? Could they make that? Could they do that? They need a particular
They can do it if they have a U.S. visa that allows for multiple entry.
Okay. But if they don't have a U.S. visa, they can't do that.
Yeah, but you can't even do it unless you do it on a police record. And on a police record, that's not multiple entry. You can't go through a third party and get to the United States on a police record. You could only do that on a visa.
That's not an exception. Then the Caribbean made it where they have free travel. Was Haiti a part of that?
Haiti is a member of CARICOM, so whatever the CARICOM arrangements are, it relates to Haiti, right? There are elements of the CARICOM arrangement to you because you're not a member of CSME.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, you're welcome. Do we have another caller on the line?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Mr. Lang?
I'm good, man. And yourself?
I am doing great. Mr. Lang, you got your pen and paper?
I'm not to do writing right now, no.
Okay, all right. It's going to be recorded anyway. Mr. Lang, here's two solutions. If a Haitian comes to the Bahamas, they should have a sponsor. How do we allow Haitians to come into this country without a sponsor? Because the truth of the matter
mean?
Is,
what do you mean? No, what do you mean? So you mean if a Haitian desires to come and visit the Bahamas, family members or friends, they have to hire?
No, not to visit, but we know the truth of the matter is they come in, most of them come in to stay.
First of all, if you are coming to the Bahamas to work, you have to have a sponsor. If you're coming to the Bahamas to take up permanent residency, you have to make application for permanent residency. If you're coming for citizenship, you have to qualify under the citizenship requirements of the Bahamas. So in any event where the sponsorship is required, there is already a rule and requirement for that sponsorship already.
Okay, so you're saying most Haitians who are here and have applied for work permit, they have sponsors?
Yeah, I would think so. No. First of all, let me say, if you are Haitian and you're here legally, and you have a work permit, you have a sponsor. Yes, you do.
Okay.
That's the law. You get the only way a Haitian national doesn't apply for work permit. A Bahamian company on behalf of the Haitian national or American or Canadian or Jamaican.
Right. Okay. All right, that's understood.
Yeah, so, that's why if somebody has a permit to work at ABC company and they're working at FGA company, they are illegally working because their permit was granted to ABC company for them to work at ABC company.
Boy, Mr. Lang, you want me to tell you something?
You ain't need to tell me nothing. I know what time it is. All I'm saying to you is your laws and your rules exist already.
Right. And that's true. But you and I know that has not worked. And there is some illegal stuff going on.
I know that it is against the law to run the red light. You got plenty of that going on. I know that it's against the law to murder, and that happens in the country. I know that it's against the law to rape, and that happens in the country. So having a law doesn't guarantee you anything, because the only people can guarantee compliance with the law are the people who comply with the law.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome, my friend. All right. We have another call on the line.
Yeah, so I'm here.
Yeah, go. Hey, Anton, what's up?
What's going on, Lang? How you doing?
Right here, my friend.
I must, man, I'm just tuning in, so I'm trying to catch up, but I wasn't able to glean.
That is always never good for you.
No, man. I wasn't able to glean. What is your focus and your perspective on whatever your conversation is? Because that's what
we've been having plenty conversations around the U.S. Embassy's apparently new policy, and so forth.
Can I ask you, what is your pronouncement and the subsequent pronouncement by the Office of the Prime Minister?
Well, I didn't have so much of a view. I had some questions, and my first question really was why?
Why? What exactly?
Is this a new policy? And if it's a new policy, why now?
Right.
The government of the Bahamas, my only point would have been if you ask why and get a rationale before you responded in the way you responded. Now, frankly, the people who are applying to the U.S. Embassy for a visa are the ones who are trying to get into the United States the right way.
Okay.
And I can punish you. For doing it the right way. I mean, that's how it may seem to them. But
I didn't take it that way. I didn't take it away for this reason.
Of course you wouldn't take it that way. But Antoine, let's be fair though. Let's be real. I want to go to the United States of America. And let's not twist who I am. Let's say I'm Chivago Lang, a decent person trying to go to the United States for visit.
Right.
I didn't make the rule about where I have to do my interview. I didn't make it. The U.S. made it. I apply for it. They give me an interview in the U.S., in the Bahamas. And you tell me, no, you can't enter. And that's not a punishment, it feels like, to me.
Let me add this perspective to your thought, right? I think the punishment really comes from the American side of the equation, because the American side made the determination to shut down all consular services in Haiti as it relates to them gaining access to apply for their visas. That's where the real punishment comes.
I agreed you 100%. So the Americans are punishing me. But at least they gave me an avenue, and the Bahamas is punishing me because Bahamas said, well, no, I'm going to let you
use Let me ask you this, Shabago, because and by President Trump, right? Banning and limiting certain nations around the world, 12 nations to be precise. You're aware of that?
Yeah.
But, okay. And so, Shabago, you still find concern based on how the United States chief diplomat made a definitive proclamation, which he has not lifted as yet, right? He made a definitive proclamation banning them, and he gave some of his reasoning as they have major concerns with the high percentages of Asian nationals who come to the U.S. Visa and overstay, right?
Yeah. Huh? But Antoine, but he still permits a process for some of those people from that same banned nation to be able to get into his country, like certain diplomatic and officials, like certain immediate relative of spouses and children and adoptions by U.S. citizens, like immigrant visas for ethnic and religious minorities.
The list goes on. Have you heard him lift this ban as yet, Shabago?
No, but it doesn't matter. He has a policy stated as to who can come into his country with a visa gotten by an interview in Nassau.
Okay.
He has it in writing from his State Department.
And so I'm simply saying, Shabago, as the chief diplomat in the U.S., the person who
with the greatest respect to me, man, and you are not going to do this to me, because this is not an issue. This is not an issue. He has a ban that's modified by his statement from the Department of State. Modified.
Shabago, you know what this reminds me of, Shabago? Let's say locally. Let's localize the conversation, right? This reminds me of the minister of any particular ministry making a statement on the heels of the prime minister, our prime minister, making a statement. It leaves confusion in the atmosphere. Don't you think?
No, it don't leave no confusion. I've told you this before. I have had this conversation. Listen, we've had this conversation before. Ain't no confusion. Because if the prime minister makes a proclamation, and if somebody says something that appears to modify that or even contradict it, and the prime minister don't say nothing, ain't no problem. No problem whatsoever. Then no problem whatsoever.
No boy, man, Shabago.
I know how government works, bro. Unless the cabinet or the prime minister comes out and say, no, that's not my policy, ain't no problem.
But Shabago,
there's no confusion, because these two things can exist together. Because if you are a diplomat, if you are a relative of a U.S. citizen, you can apply for a visa to enter the United States of America. And no, notwithstanding the ban, that there is no confusion there. And you shouldn't create one. There's none.
No.
None whatsoever.
For me, I reside with the President of the United States.
Because I know you know better. I know you know better than that. That doesn't even arise.
I'm not being political.
We got to take a break. We got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to come back. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know the
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legend Mario Zucchini, Simeon Hall Jr., and Scott Conan, alongside a vibrant lineup of chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. From curated tasting events to beachfront feasts and immersive gallery experiences, this is more than a festival. It's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage.
Now let me see now. 326 ETIC. Hello, hello. This Epic Eckerd Battery. This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get...
We ship also to the family island.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
Man, I can't wait to eat. I am starving.
You know our sport never disappoints.
Boy, I left my wallet in the room. No way I'm going back.
Relax, buddy. You've got your phone, right?
Yeah, I do.
Perfect. Just pay with Sand Dollars from your digital wallet.
Good thing Sand Dollar transactions are seamless, safe, and convenient.
Yep, Sand Dollar saved the day.
Experience the convenience of Sand Dollar, the digital currency of the Bahamas. Whether you're dining out or anywhere else, Sand Dollar ensures seamless transactions. Join the future of payments with Sand Dollar.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shabago Line, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Quick, I know we have a call on the line. Just to show Antoine that if he reads the U.S. statement, the U.S. is even disagreeing with him because he has the statement. After it talks about the State Department and what its new policy is, it says, in line with the presidential proclamation on, and this is the quote, they have quotation marks, restricting the entry of foreign nationals to protect the United States from foreign terrorists and other national security and public safety threats, end quote. The Department of State has fully suspended visa issuance to Haitian nationals with limited exceptions, and they then list the exceptions, some of which I read. So they even referenced not the ban, they didn't call it a ban, they quoted what it is, a restricting of, and this is the same thing that people say the Bahamas has a ban on this and the Bahamas has a ban on that when it comes to custom entry. It's the Bahamas doesn't have a ban on many things, it has restricted access, meaning it can come in only under the conditions established. We have a call on the line, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lyon, how are you doing?
Hey, good man, how are you?
All is well. So, yeah, I remember when President Trump did the restricting or whatever, and cited Haiti as one of the countries, and his rationale was, and please forgive my lack of the exact verbiage that he used, but he was saying that there was no, he had no confidence in the integrity of the system that would get the people applying. Okay, and that's the reason why he put Haiti on that list along with those other nations. That's all I have to say.
Okay, gotcha, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. This text says, hi, Mr. Lang. Great show as usual. Now my thing with Dr. Minnis, Mr. Penta, just out of respect, could have let Dr. Minnis run. Then if he lose, he lose. That's all. That's what I didn't like with Mr. Penta. Thank you, sir. So Mr. Penta should have respect for Dr. Minnis, who showed him no respect in regard to his leadership over the course of his tenure. But Mr. Pintage, you show him respect. And what disrespect is it to say to somebody, I'm running somebody else, not you? Was Mr. Ingram disrespecting all the men who did not run when he had young dad, myself, and others run? That's with disrespect? Please. Say yes, new policy based on the fact that their embassy is now closed. Every country that doesn't have an embassy has one designated for them. Example, Bahamas is designated country for Turks and Caicos applications. Why Bahamas and not designated Jamaica or Dominican Republic are geographically close is my question. Can the U.S. designate a country without the country's permission? That is my second question. They could if they have an embassy there, and they did. Now, whether the country accepts that is another story, and the Bahamas did not, apparently. This text says, sir, after your appointment, your passport is mailed to DHL around 7 to 10 days later. Yeah, I'm understanding that that's the case. I it's been a while, so that's how I did mine. I mean, I did it too, this mail, so I don't know. So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I visited the U.S. Embassy in April this year. 60% of the persons who were inside while I was there were Haitians and all got visa. Like you, I travel to the Family Islands weekly, and just like you, I see long lines trying what I'm saying. Yes, sir. So while I'm enjoying the show today, these are the same callers who call all the talk, daily talking, same garbage. So good afternoon. Just go online and look at the application for a BAME visa for a Haitian to travel to the Bahamas. Anyone can get approved. The OPM talking garbage. All right. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm great. Mr. Lang, isn't America a sovereign country?
It is.
Well, if America makes decisions based on their sovereign country, who is you or I or anybody else to complain about what America does? And the same thing with the Bahamas. Isn't the Bahamas a sovereign country also?
You're right. We are nobody to do it except when what you decide has implications for my country, though. Because my country's sovereign, too.
Yes, exactly. But see, what happens...
Well, that's the only reason why we're discussing it. We're discussing it because it has implications for the Bahamas.
Yeah, it has implications for Bahamas. This is why the government acted to counteract the implications, okay? Because
we're discussing that too.
What happened is I think the deadline is November 1st, right? Isn't it November 1st?
Yes, November 1st. Yeah.
Okay. If the government 2 months out counteract that by saying no Haitians that coming from Haiti will be allowed to come into Bahamas if they're just coming to apply for U.S. visa, they have a right to do so. Okay, bunch of rigmajig and everybody complaining about the government acted
I think you're being sensitive because honestly, I didn't hear many people talk about what the government doing at all.
A lot of people did, and a lot of people still
I didn't hear them.
A lot of people are complaining about the flights coming in from Haiti. Listen. They need to check out the immigration criteria for those places to come here to the Bahamas. They're not just coming into the Bahamas without having the amount of funds that they're supposed to have, a place to stay, and the time that they're supposed to leave the Bahamas. Yes, you might find one or two persons not leaving the Bahamas on a timely matter, but I'm quite sure immigration now got that under control, regardless of what
were you always that sure that immigration had that under
not at that particular time, but so many things has happened since that I'm quite sure now. Not because
when would you say your confidence in things like this started? When? Last year? Yeah, before you last. When?
Basically about, I'll say about 7 years ago. Okay?
Seven? Okay.
But, you know, Mr. Lang, you know, if there are another airline that brings persons in to the Bahamas from Haiti, and the Bahamas, they are bringing persons to the Bahamas, what is wrong with that, sir, if they're meeting the criteria? What's the problem?
Nothing whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever. All right. We have another call on the line. No? Did we lose him? Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, Shivago.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, caller Shivago, after you read just the smallest piece of the statement from the from the U.S. Embassy.
No, it's not a small piece. It's the relevant piece to what you said.
Well, you didn't read what are the stipulations that they allow persons to enter or to come to conduct.
They don't have any stipulation because after what I read, all they did was a list of people who are able to do so. And I gave you those.
Who was that list? You mean the ambassador?
I gave you a whole list of the people.
No, but before you read the statement, you called off some names. But I didn't know that you were speaking from the list.
And that is from the list. That's exactly from the list. And that's the only thing that the statement I read from that, from the department, the State Department, only.
Well, Shivago, let me put it to you this way. From my point, I have serious concerns that a first world nation would close down their embassy in the particular country that we're speaking about, right? Because of concerns in that country, would look to host that very same business in your country or in our country as a small island developing state. And therefore, I fully support the position of the Prime Minister as the chief diplomat in our country until further clarification can be brought with discussions at their high levels from state to OPM or from OPM and state. With our Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Thanks for the opportunity.
I got you, brother. Thank you a lot. Appreciate it. No problems. This says some years ago, said I can be wrong. Does a Haitian still need a Bayman visa? Yes. Your visa to come. I'm sorry. Are you not taking your time to write that stuff? So regarding Kalani, the constituency seat race in next general election, I'm not sure why some believe Dr. Minister is there. This very significant support among Kalani voters, he does not. In the last general election, 2021, the record will show Dr. Minnis won the Kalani seat by 48% of the votes cast in 2021 elections, and even as the all-powerful prime minister of the country during the previous 4 years. In fact, his win in 2021, it was a reduction of over 2,500 votes less than he won by 2017. But not only did Dr. Minnis lose support as leader of the country as a whole, but the record shows he also lost significant support among constituents in that Kalani constituency. If he runs as an independent, election, he, like Loretta Butler-Turner in Long Island constituency in 2021, will likely not get his deposit back, particularly if he does not cut a deal with the PLP and they not run a candidate in the constituency. And the PLPs are encouraged to support him. It's very simple. Dr. Minister is no Lyndon Pinning or Hubert Ingraham, who is strong enough to virtually swim against the political tide and survive. His text says, good day, Shivago. Interesting show as usual. Please note that when I heard the USA decision to direct visas for Haiti to the Bahamas, it was troubling. I had a sense of relief when PM Davis said Haitians won't be allowed to travel to the Bahamas for visas. I believe our government should ask the U.S. government why the Bahamas has been selected, as it appears very bullish that a decision as serious as that lands on our doorsteps without our agreement. It reminds me of when the USA said they were repatriating non-Bahamians back to the Bahamas and our government had to speak out against it. Sadly, I don't know what is the final outcome of this. While we have diplomatic relations with the USA, we must ensure that the decisions they make are for the betterment of our country. The Bahamas says that text. This text says, the U.S. Embassy in Port-au-Prince is currently on ordered departure status. This reduction in staff affects their ability to provide routine consular services. As a result, non-immigrant visa services are suspended until further notice. When consular services resume, the embassy will implement a new visa system. The services to the Bahamas. That is, that guy, the mayor, was beating the FNM under Nations and Shanty Towns, so it wasn't 7 years ago. It must be the PLP term. I had my suspicions, but you know, I was in debt right now. So, Mr. Lang, please help me understand something. The United States has barred Haitian citizens from entering the U.S. So wouldn't it be futile for them to apply for U.S. visas when they know that it would be denied? It wouldn't be for the people who they are allowing. They have a list of people who are still permitted to enter and apply for visas. On the line, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Shavaro.
Hi, what's up?
Yeah. Let me ask you something. Is the U.S. Embassy still open in Haiti?
Is the U.S. what?
Embassy.
In Haiti open? Is it open?
Yeah.
It's partially functioning.
Okay, partially. Is Obama's embassy open?
Absolutely.
And this time they do.
You mean in Haiti?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not. It's closed.
Obama's embassy is not open in Haiti?
No, it's not. It's closed.
When they closed?
Man, I don't know when they closed, but I checked. They are closed.
My Chicago, come on, man. If three flights coming by Bahamas Air, and plus other airline coming, and you know they got to be open?
I know they got to be open. I don't know that because when I check the status of them online, it says closed. So don't tell me what I have to know. Now, if the government of the Bahamas allows the status of the U.S. embassy, the Bahamas embassy in Haiti, to be closed online, where people go to get information, well, you got to talk to them. You go check it yourself. Check it and see. It says, Mr. Lang, all our government has to do for those coming for visas, fingerprint, and ask them to bring a photo and make sure they leave. Okay. So top 20% of Haiti population holds over 64% of the total wealth. So take 20% of the population who may need visas. Yeah. That's like almost a million, right? What's the population of Haiti? 5 million? I don't remember. There's 11.7 million people, 11.8 million people, 1.8 million. 10% of 11 million is 1.1 million. 20% is 2.2. Alrighty. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's been great to talk to you today. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us. God spares life. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Y'all have a great evening. Together, through the storm, whatever weather.